Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This very day is a gift from God. We are here to offer thanks to the giver. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church on this Palm Passion Sunday. We're delighted that you've chosen to join us. Some of you have palms to wave. I hope you'll wave them as we sing our opening hymn. There will be others of us waving along with you. If you're new to this church, if you've just begun attending recently, or if this is your first time, please know how excited we are that you chose to join us, and we want to extend our invitation for you to become a part of this family of faith. Now, an important way to do that is to get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You have a bulletin insert that gives you lots of information about that. I'm going to lift up a few things, however. This, of course, is Holy Week, and we have some extra very important services. On Thursday evening, we have our Maundy Thursday service, which begins at 7:30. On Good Friday, we have a noon service, remembering the crucifixion of Jesus. I hope you'll be able to join us for both of those. You can find additional information about those in your bulletin insert. Then, of course, we have our two services at the regular time on Easter, but we also have our Easter brunch between services. And I hope you'll join us for that as well. It's a wonderful time of fellowship. An offering is taken during the brunch, actually, to benefit Habitat for Humanity. And so we have a wonderful Easter celebration at our worship service and between our worship services. Now, in terms of parking, for those of you who are able to and can walk that far and are willing to do that, we would ask you next week to park in the Caterpillar parking garage. You simply enter it off of Hayes Street. I parked there this morning. There was no problem whatsoever getting in. So if you can, we would ask you to park there to make room for guests who may be new to this congregation and not know to park there, or folks who might not be able to walk that far. It's not really that far, but there are some folks who need to park a little closer. So if you can, let me encourage you to do so. And then we have our Bedrock Belief t-shirts on sale. God loves everyone unconditionally. And if that isn't the message of this Holy Week and Easter celebration, I don't know what is. You can purchase those shirts. We have two different kinds of tri-blend shirt and 100% polyester shirt if you'd like a shirt for running or working out. There are child sizes available in the tri-blend shirt, and you can do that in Reed Hall between services. Have you ever known someone through whom the love of God just seemed to overflow? Of course, Jesus, filled with the love of God, overflowing with the love of God, but then there are people in our lives who are those people as well. I want you to start thinking about some of those. We're going to be talking about that very thing in just a few minutes.
Thank you. Look, he is coming. Open your hearts to receive the Savior.
We are ready to receive all that God has offered us.
The road is long, and we often stumble and fall along the way. Sin waits for us, but God is present to hear our cries. Let us now join together in the prayer of confession. Loving God, we confess that we often fail to see things as they really are. We celebrate our own victories and turn our backs on those who face defeat. We rejoice in your resurrection without walking with you toward your crucifixion. Forgive us, God, and open our eyes to see the suffering and the pain. Give us courage to stay with you through the whole journey. May we not allow any of your children to be left behind us. Amen. Though we have sinned, God's love still reaches us. God has forgiven us and set us free to walk the road ahead. And thanks be to God, we are never alone on the journey. Amen. Let us now pray together the prayer for illumination for Palm Sunday. Holy God, waken our ears to your voice. Teach us to listen and not turn backwards. Speak to us through your love on the cross, that we may know your mercy, freely given, and show to all the world the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. And now a lesson from the Gospel. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And now a lesson from the epistle. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please be seated, and if there are others who'd care to join us, we'd welcome you to come and do that. Bring a parent, grandparent, friend, and that's all right. Now, before we begin our children's time today, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, Eric Gamble. He'll be standing right over there, and he has the announcement that everybody has been waiting to hear. The announcement that I did not give at the beginning of the service because we wanted as many people to be here as possible. Then we'll have our children's time, okay? Eric, here.
Good morning, everybody. As many of you are aware, Bishop McAlealy and the Nashville Area Cabinet of the Tennessee-Memphis Conference have worked prayerfully this week to make missional appointments to every church in our annual conference. It is my job as Staff Parish Relations Committee Chair to inform you of the transitions that will be occurring at West End. As we all know, our senior pastor, Michael Williams, will be moving on to new and exciting adventures this summer. And while we will sorely miss his wisdom, his stories, and his leadership, we're also very excited for him and that he will have the opportunity to continue his ministry in other ways and to continue to pursue his many passions. Coming to West End to fill the senior pastor position is Carol Cavan Dillon, who is coming to us from Christ United Methodist Church in Franklin, Tennessee. Reverend Cavan Dillon has served at the Christ UMC since 2003 and has been lead pastor there since 2009. She is a Nashville native who received her undergraduate degree from Duke University and Master of Divinity degree from the Chandler School of Theology at Emory University. Coming with her will be her husband David and her two children, Tate, who is 15, and Martha, who is 12. Now, in addition, we will actually be receiving two new pastors this summer instead of just one. It's come to our attention that Chris Allen and his wife Erica have been given a very exciting opportunity to be co-pastors at a new church plant in Florida. Not only is this exciting for them professionally, of course, but it will also allow them to be close to family, which with a new baby at home will be invaluable. We're very grateful to Chris for all of his service at West End and will be praying for his family's continued success on their new adventure. Coming to West End to serve in Chris's role will be Brandon Baxter, who comes to us from Glendale United Methodist. Brandon received his Master of Divinity at Vanderbilt and has been serving recently as Glendale's lead preaching pastor. And he will be coming here with his wife, Carol, and his two children, Emerson, who is 8, and Miriam, who is 6. Our new pastors and their families are set to join us officially on July 2nd, so that will be their first Sunday here. In the meantime, of course, the SPRC and our newly formed transition team will be doing everything possible to make sure that this transition goes as smoothly as it can. We ask for your continued prayers for our committees, staff, congregation, and new families as we all work together to ensure that West End continues to be the loving light of Christ in Nashville and beyond. The bishop has asked me to share a prayer. All the churches who are receiving new leadership will be sharing the prayer this morning. So if you'll pray with me, please. Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Savior, we give you thanks for our church. It is a gift of grace to us, and we are deeply grateful for the leadership of Michael and Chris, who has served as our pastors, teachers, leaders, and friends in Christ. May your grace abound upon them and their families in the spiritual adventures that lie ahead. As Carol and Brandon come to be our next pastors, we pray for them. May your grace abound in their lives, giving peace and joy and confidence in this new beginning. Please open our hearts and minds to receive the gifts that you have for us in these days. And we give thanks for what has been and anticipate what will be. Our life is in you, O God, and through the Holy Spirit we pray this day. Amen.
Thank you, Eric. Now, you all probably already knew, since I announced it a long time ago, that at the end of June, I am going to stop being the senior pastor here, and I'm going to do some other things like teaching and storytelling and writing, and that someone else would be coming. And now we know who's coming. Carol Cavan Dillon. She's a very close friend of mine, and I could not be more excited for you and for her. Now, change is hard. And sometimes it's harder for adults than it is for you, because see, you guys are used to this. Because being in school, you have a teacher, and then you go to the next grade, you have a different teacher, don't you? And your teacher, who's teaching you now, loves you very much, but she or he knows that you need to go to that next grade because you're going to learn more from your new teacher. And then you'll move to another grade and you'll learn even more from that new teacher. And that's kind of the way it is in the United Methodist Church. We have pastors who are sent here over periods of time, and we learn from each and every one of them. and every one of them will continue to love you just like I do and will, and Carol and Brandon, who will be coming in Chris's position, will learn to love you just as much as I will. Now, you know what? It's a good thing that love is not limited. That way we can only love a few people. But we know that God's love is so big that it includes everybody. It says so on our t-shirts, doesn't it? It includes everybody. And so our love can try to be as big as God's. I will always continue to love you, and I know you will learn to love Carol and Brandon, and they will continue to love you through the years as well. And I'm excited for you and for them. Now I'm going to talk just in a minute a little bit more about both of them and about our story for today. So as I do, you can think about how you have made changes in the past and how you can make changes in the future. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us a world that doesn't just stay the same, that we can learn from new people and different people, and that your love is so big that it has no beginning and it has no end. And we will try to make our love as big as we possibly can, to open our arms to as many of your people as we possibly can, because we know you love them and you love us through them. In Jesus' name. Thanks for coming down. Well, in most churches in Christendom, today is Palm Passion Sunday. But for this church, and for a few others in this conference, and perhaps in other conferences, it's really Announcement Sunday, or Appointment Sunday. Because that's what we've been thinking about, isn't it? I have one other appointment to announce for you, but it's not here. Our friend Stacy David Heiser Gonzalez will be going to serve as the associate pastor at First United Methodist Church in Columbia, Tennessee, a position I held from 1980 to 84. So I'm very excited for her as well. We celebrate that with you, Stacy. I know you all have been waiting to hear. I've been waiting to hear. I've been anxious, and I have to tell you, I could not be more excited that Carol Cavan Dillon is coming to serve in this position at this church at this time. I've known Carol ever since she came into the conference over 20 years ago. I was her brother's pastor and his family's pastor in Hendersonville. I knew her dad, Mo Cavan. She grew up down at Brentwood and is a Tennessee Conference person, a person of great gifts, and you are going to love her. I can pretty much guarantee that. Now, she's going to be different from me, right? And different is good. Because you had no idea what you were getting when you heard that this tall, white-bearded guy who grew up in a house trailer, who had a reputation for being a storyteller, was going to be appointed to West End. And to make things worse, he doesn't even stand in the pulpit. But you have embraced me with your love. And if you embrace Carol and Brandon with your love, as you did me, we can't help but be successful, all of us. Now, I don't know Brandon as well, although I've known his mother for many, many years. Libby Baxter serves at Calvary United Methodist Church. She's a dear friend and colleague, and though I'm not as familiar with Brandon, I've only heard great things, and I'm excited for you that he's going to be here. I will be absent for a while once they arrive. That's the way we do things. New pastors need to have an opportunity to establish themselves. But I have to tell you, as I talked to Carol on the phone when I first got this news, I told her that, and she said, oh, with genuine disappointment. She said, I was looking forward to our being colleagues. Well, I'll be back. It's a threat, but it'll be a while, okay? It'll be a while. I want Well, I want you to learn to love Carol as your pastor the way you've learned to love me as your pastor. I want you to learn to love Brandon as your pastor the way you have learned to love Chris and all the rest of us here. And even though that's really what this Sunday is about for us today here, I think the stories that you heard Stacy read inform this process really well. Now, Paul is writing not just to any church. He's writing to a church he founded. The first members of this church were people who responded to his preaching. This is primarily a Gentile church. And so, as the apostle to the Gentiles, he has been successful in creating in Philippi a church of the people he was called and sent to be among. Now, he's not with them now. He's in prison, and he's writing them from prison. But if you notice in the letter, it starts a little bit differently than many of the other letters. It starts with Paul defining himself and every single person he addresses, not by their relationship with him, but by their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what's important. As much as we may love each other, we are not defined ultimately by the love we have for each other. We are defined by the love that God has for us expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. And so he defines each and every person that he's addressing by their relationship to Christ. Believe it or not, even bishops. That was supposed to be funny. I might get into trouble for it, so you better laugh. He goes on to talk about his hopes and dreams for them, that he's no longer with them, that he thinks he will never see them again. And among his hopes and dreams for them is that their love will overflow with all knowledge and discernment and insight and wisdom and all of the things that go with love. And it's interesting that he should talk about their love overflowing after he's defined them by their relationship to Jesus. Because I think that's exactly what was happening in the first text you heard. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, God's love was overflowing in that city. It was overflowing for the crowds around who were waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna, but it was also overflowing for the people later that week who would betray Jesus, who would deny knowing him, who would desert him in his hour of need, and even those who will be shouting, crucify him, and those who will be driving spikes through his wrist. When God's love overflows, there is no stopping it. It cannot be contained. It cannot be contained in the temple. It cannot be contained in a city. It cannot even be contained in the person of Jesus. It overflows from Jesus to those who follow him. And Paul's prayer is that it will overflow through those people he loves in the church he helped to found. That is his prayer for those folks. Now, our love here at West End overflows in many different ways. It overflows every day as you go out into whatever arena you walk through, work in, visiting people. Through you, God's love overflows. God's love overflows through all of those groups of people whose work we support, who touch those folks who feel unloved, or have no house to live in, or have no food to eat, or need clothing, or need whatever. God's love overflows through through you. This building, as beautiful as it is, cannot contain God's love. Because God's love is so expansive that we believe, it's one of our bedrock beliefs, that God loves everyone unconditionally. That does not mean that God loves everything that we do to each other, however. Some of the things we do to each other must make God weep in anguish that our love has fallen so far short of that great love that we have been given in Jesus Christ. But we strive to increase that. We strive to have God's love not just be contained in us, not just be contained within our circle of friends, not just be contained within those people who look like us or who agree with us politically or religiously, not just those people who speak the same language we do, not just those people within the boundaries of the country where we live, but God's love overflowing into the world. That's what was happening when Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem to the shouts of crowds. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We know the rest of the story. We'll hear it the rest of this week. How later in the week he will eat with those very people who have betrayed him in various ways or will betray him in various ways. And yet he blesses them and he offers them his body and his blood. God's love overflowing. And we know that the story on Friday is one of flogging and dragging a heavy crossbar and having spikes driven through your wrists and feet and being hoisted aloft. And even in the midst of the worst torture that the Roman Empire could imagine, Jesus looks at those standing around him. Not the women who are still there who were his followers, but those who nailed him up here and said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." God's love overflowing. And then all of the hatred and the violence and the hurt that the Roman Empire could come up with that was visited upon Jesus, all of that is taken into the tomb and with those death clothes left there. So that next Sunday we will be here singing a different song. It won't be Hosanna. It will be a different song of God's defeat, even of death. But that's the way God's love rolls. You gotta ride before you rise. You gotta go through the hard Holy Week story before you get to the encounters, the mysterious and wondrous and sometimes terrifying encounters with God's love in the person of Jesus when death is defeated. There is nothing, my friends, that can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that can contain God's love as it is expressed through us. Let me just say, I didn't found this church. I'm not quite that old. And many of you were here when I arrived. Some of you are here since that time. But I can say with Paul that I see each of you in your relationship to Jesus Christ. And that love that has come through you, that is not yours, but is God's. Every single person who comes on your staff, whether appointed or hired, every person I have worked with here desires for God's love to overflow through us to you. And I think we would all say that God's love has overflowed through you to us. And that's the way it should be. And when Carol and Brandon come, they'll come with that same desire, that God's love will overflow through them to you. And I have no doubt that God's love will flow through you to them. So when you see them, remember to relate them to their own identity in Jesus. And they'll be coming and relate to you according to your own identity in Jesus. And in that way, their love will overflow, or perhaps rather God's love will overflow through them to you. Your love will overflow to them, and all of that will overflow outside this building, into the streets of Nashville, into the world around us, into every place where there is hurt, whether that place is on this continent or not. That love will overflow because together you see in each other the love of Jesus Christ. And that's how you know each other. That's what you did for me. I wasn't just some tall, white-bearded guy who grew up in a trailer who told stories. You saw in me the love of God, and I saw in you the love of God. And that's what will happen when your new pastors come. There are many ways of defining success in the church. Mostly, we turn in accounts of numbers. People in worship, people in classes. But I think this is the true measure of whether or not a church is successful. Whether the love of God overflows through those who are in leadership to those who are gathered. Whether the love of God overflows through those who are gathered to those in leadership. But more importantly, because of that, the love of God overflows into the world, where anyone, anywhere, who may not believe they are loved will hear the word of God's love for them. Anyone, anywhere, who has done something for which they think they cannot be forgiven will hear Jesus speaking to them, saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." My prayer for you and for me and for all of us is exactly the same as Paul's, that our love would overflow in insight and discernment and wisdom and knowledge and all good things, so that together God's love may overflow and flood the entire creation. Thanks be to God. We affirm our faith in lots of ways, and today we're going to use words of Scripture. I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 888 in your hymnal, and respond as we tell our story of faith. This is the good news, which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us show signs of love and welcome and peace to one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. And if you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right, following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have about this church and its ministries. The Andrew ministers will be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex, located at the rear of the sanctuary following our worship service. They can be identified by their blue name tags. If you are a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following the late worship service. The students will gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there, indicating if these prayer requests are to be shared or if they are to be confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. We also invite you to take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service. Today, the rows on the communion table celebrates the adoption of Lucy Mae McGuire. She is welcomed by her big brother, Liam, and also her parents, John and Elizabeth McGuire. She came to be with her forever family on February the 27th. We also today offer our sympathy to the family of Doug Doss in the death of his father, Jimmy Doss, who died April the 1st in Houston, Texas, and services were held there on April the 8th. Among his survivors, in addition to Doug, are his granddaughters, Erin and Megan Doss. Prepare us to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Sisters and brothers, confident in God's love and mercy, let us pray for the world and for our needs to the one who is mighty to save. We pray for all leaders and people that by the power of your cross, all violence, domination, and injustice in our world will be driven out as we are drawn closer to Christ. Guide those in power that their decisions may give rise to the mutual flourishing of the world you so love. We pray for our war-ravaged and violent world. Raise us to a new and rightly ordered world through the reconciling love of Christ, where all victims of violence, persecution, shame, or terror may stand together with you in peace. Enlighten us through your great mercy, O Lord, to care for your creation, to awaken us from our denial and abuse, and help us to alleviate its suffering. We pray that you will call the church to bear the fruit of action as we hear the cries of pain and suffering of those in need regarding health care, hunger, homelessness, education, and incarceration. We pray for the poor, the terrified, and the oppressed, and those who are too much alone, that they may find a home in you as we serve them in your name, compassionate God. And as your Son Jesus anticipated his death in light of your steadfast love, may all who have died or who are dying be at rest in your eternal care. Enfold them in your love that they may rest and rise with Christ forever in his light. Through Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we glorify you, Almighty God, with unending thanks and praise, as we pray in one voice the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let the giving of God's tithes and our offerings be a tangible way of bearing witness to the good news of the gospel.
Now go forth with God's love overflowing through you into the world, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do. And God, whose love is over all creation, Jesus Christ, God's love walking among us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to love as God loves, will be with you now and forever. Go in peace.